B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub headlines. Well, the Celtics were in the game in the third quarter against the Lakers in L.A. last night, and then they weren't. That's a nice sound.
The entry by Smart, deflected by Avery Bradley, stolen by Davis. LeBron releases and finishes with a right-hand slam. And there's the first double-digit lead for either side.
That's Sean Grandy here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It was also the beginning of the end for the Celtics in a 117-102 loss to L.A. at Staples Center. LeBron James, 30 points for the winners. Jason Tatum, 34 for the green. Celtics play the Clippers back at Staples Center again tonight. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell have the pregame at 10 and the tip-off at 10:30 over on 105.7 WROR. Bruins are in Vancouver to play the Canucks tonight. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the pregame at 8:30 and the face-off at 9 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruins are banged up. Patrice Bergeron has a broken nose, but he will play. Charlie Coyle and Matt Grizzlick didn't practice yesterday. Tomas Nosek left home with a non-COVID illness. Brad Marchand is back from suspension. Tom Brady has been named the Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year, and the New England Revolution, another honor. Midfielder Carlos Hill named MLS MVP. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. 99 Restaurants gift cards are the perfect gift. For every $25 you purchase, you'll receive a $5 bonus card. The 99, always the real deal. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 9:30.
This is Charlie McAvoy.
He got drilled by McAvoy and stepped up and leveled him.
On your home for Bruins hockey, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
They get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We have the wrong bed.
Oh, you?
Oh, yeah. That's right. There we go. Yeah.
We're gonna wear you down.
All
Billy.
Of it.
Oh, are you saying all the song? Hell yeah.
No, no. He's gonna come around to our point of view.
We got a script.
Now,
Billy Jeff, you're very familiar with the bear faction of the gay community.
Ooh, ha.
Which is what this is. Billy could be a bear. I could definitely be a bear, but I was called like a sneaky otter.
You were called a rugged double bear.
Yeah.
And Nick was an otter. And that was... No, John, were you a gopher? Because you'd go for anything?
No, I was a gopher, too.
Okay, so what was a gopher?
We had... Normally when the gay guys would rate me... The gay guys like were like, oh, you'd fit nicely into this bear community. But we had one that was very sassy and called me a gopher.
And that wasn't Guy from Machine. That
no,
was
no,
someone
no.
else. Yeah,
no, the Guy from Machine was very complimentary.
You were a rugged double bear.
Yes.
Yeah, from Guy from Machine.
Because gays, the community of gays, they don't frown upon having back hair.
Mm-hmm.
Which must be very nice. Well, do what Billy Jeffy did. And sharpen your hockey skates at home with the Spark Sharpener. Beat the holiday rush and order today at Sparks. That's Sparks with an X. SparksHockey.com. Use the promo code SPORTSHUB at checkout for free shipping.
I'm telling you, one of the best pieces of equipment I've ever had. Best sharpener.
Yeah, because you're still out there. You're still out there on the ice. Billy Jaffe is a Bruins analyst for NESN and the NHL Network. He joins us in studio this morning. And are you sick of the goal song? Not this.
Zombie Nation.
Oh. Zombie Nation.
No, I'm not. I do every once in a while wonder about how long it takes so for, I'll call it anthems, you know, like
right.
To be changed in general, because a lot of teams all over all different sports landscapes have that song. And I, it becomes a big, big deal. You know, and their fans get all in a kerfuffle if they change it. And
when did Zombie Nation become the goal song for the Bruins?
I'm awful with years
because I'm looking around awful. The league, and a lot of these songs are within the last like 15 years.
Well, you would think like original six teams would have these, you know, songs from back in the day, but Chicago has
Chelsea Dagger,
yeah, right? Chelsea Dagger,
and that became the famous one because they won so much, and so other teams, I think, Freddie, started to say we need our own anthem.
2002.
Right. Yep. Okay. 2002.
So Gloria ended up being the one for the St. Louis Blues.
But that was by happenstance of going out one night, going to the bar.
Definitely.
And somebody kept playing Gloria at the bar.
And then you had, which I think is one of the best goal songs ever, and that is, of course, the Dallas Stars, where they got the dudes from the Pantera to write a song for them, which is just phenomenal.
It's not like Anaheim.
That's a real anthem.
Like, turn it on, it's like...
Anaheim has Bro Him by Pennywise.
Okay, well, that's a song that's fairly recent. I mean, this is not something that you're right, that's like steeped in all of this like tradition. I mean, if Zombie Nation's were the Bruins, then of course it's not. There's no reason, nobody likes that. Nobody thinks that song's great. The reason that they might like it is because it reminds them of the Bruins scoring, but for no other reason. It's not like a great song that gets the crowd going crazy.
I mean, music's like wine, right? That's what they say, everybody, beer or whatever. Everybody's got different tastes, I guess. To me, triggers at least a good memory or a good moment. So I think people are used to it. They've had success. I guarantee you that the Bruins have people that run the arena have polled people about it too. I guarantee you. It's become such a big business. But how about, like, to me, I was, you know, because they play when the playoffs happen, Audioslave, Cochise, you know, that's the start. That's the anthem when, and it's I love that. Like, I can't, to me, that is a signal of just, I mean, I could listen to that song every day, first of all, but second of all, when it's in the arena to begin a playoff game, hair on the back of the neck.
I wouldn't even mind that. Like, if they score and it goes right into
Well, how about they got Hall and Oates?
Yeah.
It's the best. No, you got to come out to this music.
No. Okay.
You got to come out on the ice.
My point exactly. That is a million times better than Zombie Nation. Like, if that went on...
What do you guys think of Hall & Oates, You Make My Dreams
I love
Come
it.
True?
I love it. Doesn't somebody
that's
else
Toronto
do that?
Who does
I love that one. Like, that's a great one.
What about DJ Cool? Let me clear my throat. That's Buffalo, I think.
I don't remember.
Doesn't
awful.
Somebody have Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, which is fantastic?
I see Werewolves of London here for Arizona.
Wake me up! But like, sometimes, as corny as it is, it makes it even better.
But if I'm Hall & Oates, I'm saying... We're Philadelphia Soul, baby.
Oh, that's a good point.
You don't play me in Toronto. You get me over there in the Flyers games. We're straight up Philadelphia Soul. Let's not mess around. All right. So have you been out to practice?
I haven't because of all the illness. I'm like, I'm staying away. The good news, Johnny, you just had it in your headlines. The good news is that Coyle and Grizz were cleared to go. Obviously, McAvoy from a couple of days ago. Unfortunately, Tomáš Nosek is a no-go.
But my question to you was going to be, Rask is participating now in practice. I mean, he is.
He did the other day as the e-bug, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, I'm asking your opinion.
Yeah, okay.
Is it a foregone conclusion at this point that they're bringing him back? Because it's certainly... Okay.
Okay. I can't imagine that they're not.
All right. So, thank you. All right. So, they're bringing Rask back. Great. Okay. Yeah. Does that mean they send Swayman to the AHL?
It means that that's a distinct possibility at that time. I know you're in the future. I'm not guessing that Tuukka's back full-time for... What are we at? December? I don't even know the date.
So let's say February, middle of February.
Well, right. Now, again, we have the Olympic break there. So we're either going to be early or later Feb. Let's see where the team is. But yes, Fred, it's a distinct possibility.
Here is my problem with that. And I want your opinion because I haven't talked to you in a while. What is your feeling that if this team is middling around the trade deadline, is it time to sell? And if it is... we've talked about this. Rich agrees with me. If it is time to sell, isn't it counterproductive to send Swayman? Wouldn't you want him to get as much NHL experience as possible?
Well, if you're okay, playing out your scenario, you're selling and then not putting even a better product in front of him, then maybe it's time for him to play more regularly, hypothetically speaking, in the A, where he'll also play more. Instead of going back and forth... Or once every three or four, then he'll play.
But what I would say at that point is, if you don't trade Linus, and I don't know if you could.
Well, he's got a no-move clause in his deal.
Well, of course he does. Thanks.
Are you kidding me?
All right, so you have Linus.
Was this well? For some reason, I had no idea about that.
No, neither did I.
Well, because you don't study contracts.
Yeah, I know.
Linus has a no-movement clause?
Of course. Why wouldn't
go
he?
Go check Cap Friendly. CapFriendly.com.
Oh, you got to be kidding
okay,
me.
Okay, so...
Because that was the only thing that gave you kind of an inch.
There have been many players, and listen, there have been many players that have had a no move in the history of the game.
The NHL has way too many. Agree that they have way too many.
Have agreed to move. But, yeah. But it does limit your partners a little bit because they can say no. Now, he might be willing to be moved, but he might say no to a franchise that you think you have the best deal with. So my point is, if you're bringing Tuukka back and you're going to sell at the deadline, then it just seems counterproductive.
Well, but yes, to your point, meaning I hear your side. Right. Here's my take on it. If the team is going to be into an area where, again, let's see where they're at, but if they're going to be in an area where they've sold and they're not going to have a very good team overall in front for the playoff, when I say the playoff run, I mean the run to the playoffs in the league in general.
Right.
Then
maybe save the kid.
I'm also he's the stud of the future.
Right.
Okay. And I want him built the right. I want to see him completely built up
that makes sense.
And you know, we're seeing a flawed team in Philadelphia and Carter Hart there, who started out great this year. Started out great 2 years ago.
Right.
Struggled mightily last year.
Right. He's the story that you got to worry about.
He's the cautionary tale. Right. The team is not focused the right way. Then let's just make sure. Let's make sure that the best possible way that Sway is the way for the future.
Okay, that makes sense. All right. So let's say I don't know what you guys have covered in the past, but let's you might have covered this. I don't know.
What we talked about was. Is there a point where you say maybe we gotta end up moving Marchand?
Because
he's the one guy that you know you could get.
And it's all
on John's theory about what the Celtics did at the end of the Big Three. Ended up getting a King's ransom for Paul Pierce.
My thought was the only thing that you can get a King's ransom for that you would move, because you're not moving Pastrnak, you're not moving McAvoy, and you're not moving Swayman. Would be Marchand, because he's got the 2 years after this, right? 3 years
at an incredibly fair price.
Yeah, exactly.
A great price.
So you would get a lot in return. But you feel that's something they wouldn't do.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't see that. Here's the thing, your assessment of a King's ransom back for a guy like Brad Marchand is absolutely accurate.
Sure.
Okay, we know that. I think anybody that follows the Bruins even half-assed understands how, you know, phenomenal he is, but you know that you've got a few pieces that you have to continue to build a core around, and he is the main piece there up
even
front.
At his age
and then Pastrnak is elevating him, but he doesn't do as much overall.
No, I understand all that.
Yeah,
I'm saying that if you go, okay, this is over, we have to break it down.
I don't see them saying
younger.
That this year.
Okay.
But if they were to say that next year,
yeah,
all things are on the table for
okay.
I don't see them saying that this year, bud. I just don't.
But if you're Sweeney, not is he going to do this, but if you're Sweeney, say they're in position to make the playoffs at the deadline.
Yeah.
Are you giving up really anything to get better?
No. See, this is I don't think so.
I agree.
This is where again, crystal balling. Let's just say they're. That good enough team, they're getting in there. Am I giving up much? No. Would I give up a draft pick? I'm not talking a first. No.
Right.
However, and I said this last week with you, Rich and Johnny, they have an opportunity with Jake DeBrusk's request, which again has been out there for a while, but now it's public, to make it a bigger deal, to help alter a little bit of the look of your team a bit.
Because you're throwing in an NHL player with potential along with
an NHL player, maybe it's two NHL players going somewhere else. Maybe it's a pick and Jake.
That's what I'm saying.
Look, both. You have a chance to help.
So if I give up a second rounder, which I, but if I give up a second rounder, because they've actually Sweeney, you can make an argument, is hit on second rounders
bit
more.
Yep.
If you give up a second rounder in DeBrusk, do you think that brings in a number, like a number two defenseman or someone?
Centerman, maybe. I mean, you're looking for another center.
Yeah.
And we all know this. They miss David Krejci still,
which is
significantly.
Sad.
And a D. And I've said all along, I'd love for them to get bigger on the back end. I'd love for them to get a little harder to play, you know, have that guy that's a little nastier back there. Not easy just to go out and get. Does the second rounder in DeBrusk get it? Okay, lame answer. Sorry, Fred. It depends on the team that you're talking to. Look, if you're not...
Is that a possibility?
I think so.
Because what is DeBrusk looked about? How do people look at DeBrusk in the league?
They look at him still as having, and I talked to a few people about of good potential. They do.
So they believe, there are teams that believe DeBrusk could come in and be a key contributor. Not
the star.
Not Marchand or anything.
Right, right. But they
could be a key contributor.
He could elevate their offense.
Okay.
Add to their offensive depth.
The only thing I would say about that is that when you see a player like that in the league and you think, okay, well, maybe if he goes here, he'll be a better player. But you usually do that on players in bad teams and bad organizations with not good coaches. You're like, okay, well, if you can take him, maybe he'll thrive in this system. Bruins are looked upon as a pretty damn good organization. Mm-hmm. And for all those years, I mean, he had Krejci, you know, was one of his line mates. And if that guy doesn't make you look good, then I don't know what will. So I'm wondering if they're looking at him and saying, well, maybe that's as good as it gets.
I haven't heard that. I think that there's a look at saying, all right, we don't often see this out of a Bruins player, to your point.
Yeah.
But he had 27 and he had 19 goals in his first 27 the second year, I think it was. So look at that and say, wait a second. He obviously needs a change of pace, a change of scenery. Let's see if we can be that place. But teams right now, this is my guess, right now are doing the treading water instead of full swim because they're wanting to see something else happen. Now, let's not forget, teams oftentimes, and I think the Bruins have done this in the past, when they're on the road, big deals have happened. They're on the road for the next 4 days, Vancouver, Edmonton, then Calgary.
Hometown boy, baby.
Yeah, he's got the Alberta native but that's where he is from. I think that something could happen. I mean, let's not forget, too, trade deadline freeze, I mean, happens for a week in December. Players can't be moved. They can't be traded. Yeah. So it's about, I think it's the 20th to the 27th that the freeze happens.
Very nice of the league.
So will it happen before that? I would think so. I think this
really?
Well, I would have to imagine because, all right, let's play it out. Brad's back.
Yeah.
Bleed is back off the IR.
Yep.
Anton Bleed is traveling too. I already said that Nosek's not traveling. Jake didn't play well in his first game after it became public. He got better, played well in the second, and pretty good in the third game too.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna he's not gonna be a detractor to the team. He's a good, you know him,
yes,
guys.
We like Jake very much.
He's not going to be a bad dude the team.
No, we like
the
Jake.
The question is going to become, does Don get a deal that he wants? Can
maybe Edmonton. Maybe they land in Edmonton and he
stays. Keep an eye on Calgary, maybe. You know,
they have the sports bar where they give the women the breast implants.
They in Calgary? See, you know things that I just never
knew. Oh yeah, because like the players that would be like, "Oh, you guys like don't want to probably go to Calgary and stuff." And they're like, "No, no."
We talked to Luch about that,
I've always
had
fun in Calgary. I mean, it's small town fishbowl for a hockey player.
No, but there's this sports bar where you sign a contract to work there, and part of it is that they include breast implants.
Hmm. There was a player who knew about that we spoke with. For some reason, Luch is the one who's
bumping
my head.
I can tell you that I've talked to maybe 10 players and people in the organization about it.
They're aware of it, yes.
Because they're like, no, you want to go to Calgary.
Really?
Plus, they're NHL players, so they can bang these chicks. I mean, they walk in and like the girls all like them.
Oh, the things I learn with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Them.
By the way, and I heard you talking with Merriweather real quick. In the past, Buffalo was a high, when I'm not going to say highly sought out, but a very players were very happy to play there.
Okay, when?
I'm going back when they were good.
Andy Sutton, when we were in Atlanta, told me, because I was shocked, because I was like, I'm like, you'd rather play in Edmonton? He's like, yeah, it's Canada. He said Buffalo. So even as far back as 2002.
When Buffalo was good and they were regularly in the, at least to the quarters, if not the semis, and one year, if a couple, well, they made it in 99 and then they make it to the final. Players were very happy to be there. Now, downtown Buffalo versus 15, 18 minutes, 20 minutes away are viewed very different. The players had such a good life there. You know, they would buy a house for... You talked about my lottery dream home. I heard that last thing. For, you know, $400,000 or $500,000, that would go for, in those days, $2 million, depending on what market you were in. Compared. So they, but the other thing is, the schools were great. So the married players loved it. And the single players loved it because they were treated like kings in that market.
I don't mind Buffalo. Kings. It's not me. It's just every player I've ever talked to has named Buffalo as the
because it doesn't have the same vibe. And you know what? A lot of the common factor is up there, the ownership. Yeah, they own both the hockey team and the football team.
Yeah. But when he bought it, when he bought it, that was supposed to be good for them
because he had money, and they have a ton of money, so they saved them from going anywhere.
It's funny because
I went to school out there, Billy. I hated it.
Really? Then why'd you go to school there?
I went to school in upstate New York at a very small school called Hobart College.
I know Hobart.
So it's about 2 hours east.
Dude, that's not Buffalo. That's 2 hours
east. But that's not to say that I haven't been to Buffalo a lot. I know the area. I hated it. I thought Buffalo was a horrible city.
Buffalo's not great. You're right.
But they have a strange amount of attractive women. It's for that area, it is.
I didn't run into those.
Well, would you think Calgary had very attractive women?
No, I didn't. But again, once again, as we just found out from Billy, and he's right, you have information the rest of us don't have. No. For whatever reason.
I'd rather play in Calgary than Edmonton.
Winnipeg?
Winnipeg. You're right. I mean, Winnipeg, again, it's one of those little towns. I used to go up there in the old IHL, and there were like, we'd go up there in May because of the playoffs, and there were, honest to God, there were mosquitoes the size of helicopters. Yeah. They were just...
It's where the ice road truckers start.
That's right.
All right. Well, Billy Jaffe, thank you so much for joining us.
Good to see you guys. 8 o'clock pregame tonight.
8 o'clock West Coast game. 8 o'clock pregame is going to be on Nesson.
Marchand back, too.
Yep, Marchand back. I'm guessing Bleed back as well.
All right. It's always good to see you, Billy, and we'll see you soon.
You got it, guys.
We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Cutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That's real. You know, we are what our record says we are, as they say.
At the 50-yard line, you are trespassing. Get off the field. Attention. Get off the field.
Yeah, I mean, we've been inconsistent. And, you know, again, opportunities to win the game. Opportunities to win the game.
Attention, get off the field.
And, you know, again, you go back and you look at it from a stats standpoint and you say, hey, do we have opportunities to win the game? You're darn right we did.
You eating a cookie over there?
I got some for you, Fred.
Already gone.
No one's offered me a cookie.
Well, because you were talking to Billy.
Yeah.
I did everyone else.
Had a molasses.
Top Excellent. Shelf cookies.
I will have one.
Made a
great cookie.
Yeah, they are the best.
I do want a, and thank you to the Girl Scouts who apparently dropped stuff off here, but like they need the plug. But my daughter was a Girl Scout. Mm-hmm. But I would like a restaurant. I'm very hungry in the morning.
So they have. We've had a few reach out, Fred, and I have not followed up yet. But there's been a couple places that have reached out saying that they would be bringing my food.
Because what I do, which is what you want to do, is I will eat a foot-long sub with chips, and then eat something else, and then take a nap.
Yeah. What could go wrong?
It's,
like,
it's what every doctor says to do.
Yeah.
And because I'm exhausted after the show, and I'm hungry because I don't eat
starving.
Breakfast.
Starving, yes.
And then I don't eat a lot of dinner. I don't have a big dinner, but I love it. It's my favorite time of the day. Is the eating of the food and putting off the nap as long as possible. And then taking the nap.
This is our curse, Fred, is that, you know, because obviously we get off the air, we're starving. I too, like, don't eat breakfast. I just have one little tiny thing of yogurt in the morning. And no place opens for lunch until, like, 11 o'clock. And there's that 1 hour where all you're ravenous. Now, I know that there's a Chipotle that I go to that says it opens at 10:45, but that's a little... That's what they feel like opening
it's dealer's
at
choice at that point. Well, you're sitting in the parking lot. You would know.
I do. I literally sit in the parking lot and wait for them to open.
Well, it's funny because it takes me so long to get effing home that everything's open by the time I get home.
Well, all I know is when I go home, all the doors are open. I mean, when I go home, you know, you land on Speen Street in Natick.
Oh, shut your face.
All open
you live near the Street of Dreams. Woo-hoo! Like, you've got all of the great fast food places.
But you I got the highest grossing Chipotle in eastern Massachusetts near me.
Do you double dip ever? Do you ever go to one drive through and then get the other? No, when's the
last
time
you did it? Not recently. No. It's been at least 5 years.
Oh, God. I would do it all the time at lunch.
Because you don't take advantage of that road.
No, not nearly as much as I should. I have not.
You take it for granted.
Yeah.
You're like an old man. You, like, make your own sandwiches and everything.
I got a Chick-fil-A. I got Chipotle. I got everything you could possibly want.
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah. Well, you brush that off, my friend.
I mean, I like
spicy
it.
Spicy chicken sandwiches at Chick-fil-A are awesome.
I like it, but it's not like... but what I do now is I Uber Eats Taco Bell on occasion.
Well, I'm taking my son today, in fact.
Is it quality? Because I have one near me now. Because Uber, there's certain places that I've ordered, and I've realized that unless you eat certain foods within 5 minutes of it being cooked, it just isn't good anymore.
Well, pizza is an excellent example of that.
Oh, like, well,
there's places, if you go to the restaurant and have the pizza, it's the greatest thing ever. And when it's delivered, it's not as good. But no, I would not suggest Taco Bell for the delivery. That's just abject laziness. But then again, it's probably... over a half an hour round trip for me to get to Taco Bell, which is a tough ask on, like, a Sunday when I'm watching football.
Sure. Sometimes you're just like, I'll take 70% of a Taco Bell burrito right now.
Right.
Like, I'll take the quality lessened a little bit just so I don't have to get up off my ass and do this.
Yeah. But because in Newton, there's nothing. There's nothing. Like, the McDonald's, you got to go inside. And it's jammed. And then, so I just eat Subway every day. Unless I have leftover food. Because sometimes I'll get Uber Eats and just order a ton of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's for the whole week I have something there.
Have you ever doubled the order, like, Uber, had food coming in from two different places?
Of course.
No, not for the family. For you.
Probably.
I've not done that.
Probably.
Have you really?
Yeah. I haven't done it much, but I've done it before.
Do you still order out, or do you still go out for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
Yeah. Flour has the best peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the city. There's no question.
You still do that?
Yes. It's a side. But I haven't had it for lunch in a long time. I'll do that because I stopped eating, like, a lot of like bread and stuff for lunch.
Yeah, it's smart. It's what you should do.
Yep. Well, I mean,
I'm the only one who's fat, so that would tell you that. that would tell you why.
Well, I mean, I'm
under no illusions that that, you know, I'm doing the right thing. But it's just so, I just like it so much.
I know. There's times where I'll go an entire week. It's been a while where I'll go an entire week and just be F it. And then you see the first indicator, and that's the cheeks. When the cheeks start getting a little puffy, you're like, okay,
sure.
Nah, that's it's always the face that shows it first.
Before the gut,
it's the face.
But if I don't consume a ton of calories a day, if I can run again, I'm convinced that I can get this a little bit more under control.
Well, I'm lucky, Fred, because starting tomorrow, the new Guy Fieri's Boston Kitchen opens right down the street from where I live. Like, he's opening a new spot, and it's right there. I was reading the menu. Oh, yeah. It's got monkey sauce, or what's it called?
Donkey. Donkey.
Maybe he has monkey sauce as well. He's upgraded.
Oh, that's another side. That's for a different price.
Sure. He has something called, like, jalapeno pig poppers, which I can only imagine they throw ham on a jalapeno popper.
Sounds right to me.
That's a bold flavor.
Mm-mm. I'll tell you what. There's nothing more I want in a jalapeno than it being fried and crammed with crap cheese. And it was, I don't know how you don't get wings for Buffs for lunch. Well, that's a good 15 minutes out of the way. And also, they redid their onion rings, so I'm boycotting Buffs.
Plus, they're not open for like an hour and a half after we're done here.
By the time I got there, it would be open.
That's a good point.
Can you imagine eating fried chicken wings every day for lunch?
No.
You
I wouldn't like
that.
Them anymore.
No.
Yeah, no.
But they changed the recipe of the onion rings at Buffs, and I'm boycotting it. And I'm
oh,
not
is that
right?
How long ago?
Sometime during COVID, and I don't know if it's a supply chain situation or what the deal is.
I just want you to know we've turned into the Joe Show here. You realize that, right?
Yeah, we spent 5 minutes on a tight break talking about what's going on in our lives. It's called radio. Yeah. You know, I don't really have much more to say about, you know, the Patriots right now. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old stack-a-rooney?
Well, we have a few more nuggets about Sean McDermott that have been sneaking out over the past couple of days. It's funny how quickly people turn on this guy after a game like that.
They should turn on him.
They should.
It was an embarrassment.
There's no question. And the greatest screenplay of the 21st century has been named. Mm-hmm. And controversial, possibly?
I saw that list. We will be back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
These guys,
oh, my Lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
That's all dressed up. You must have a corporate speaking engagement. That's where Scott makes the real moolah. Is the corporate speaking engagement.
You get a whiff of that.
Oh, you have TV today?
Ah.
Oh, Bellustrator Day?
Yeah, I'm just tired.
See, I'm down with Barry from Mr. Sid. When do I get the big speaking gig? Why has it got to be you and Sosi? It should be you and I.
Sosi's doing one?
No, but you guys have done them.
Yeah, but they're always taken over by Sarge.
That's a good point. Is Sarge invited tonight?
You do have to let you do.
Sarge
have to
is
give him the
Sarge
floor.
Is going to be there tonight.
No. There's nothing at Mr. Sid tonight.
Oh, all right. I thought that's.
I just played golf with Barry for Mr. Sid.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I like him, right. And so I figured that, you know, maybe now Scott and I can be the terrible twosome because I suck at public speaking. So
I should get on that cruise that Mike behind Mike Callahan.
You love that cruise.
And you love that Facebook post,
and
man.
That looks like a really nice boat. That looks like a boat you want to be on. Nothing like a Carnival cruise to make you want to kill yourself. All right, Rich, what's going on?
We're going to talk about what kind of cruises don't make you want to kill yourself.
Every cruise besides Carnival. Every time a Carnival cruise pulls up, it's like a floating toilet. No offense if you like them.
Or if they advertise.
And you know what? I can only speak my conscience.
That's right.
That's one thing I cannot endorse.
That is absolutely true. All right, Fred and John, if I were to ask you, what owner of an NFL team admits watching football in the nude, who would it be?
Mark Davis.
Yeah.
Nope.
That would be the one I'd want.
Jerry Jones?
Jerry Jones, nice job. Take it away. Yeah, pop me up.
Day off. Jerry Jones, NFL Sunday off. How are you taking in the games if you were watching them? How are you dressing down? Are you a shorts guy? You got sweatpants? Is it popcorn? Is it pizza? Is it nachos? Give us Jerry Jones inside his NFL Sunday setup.
Well, I've watched them in everything that you have, or without everything that you have.
Well,
on as far as dress is concerned.
Okay. Well, I have a feeling that someone whose pictures have hit the internet of certain things that he's done in bathrooms and steakhouses, I'm sure he's not too ashamed to admit what he's done.
I would just be a concern of stepping on my balls from him. Not a young man.
I would think that there might be a little bit of an issue. You might want to, you know, get
gravity
something.
Does, you know, it stretches the skin.
That it does. That it does. All right. So Sean McDermott, you know, we have obviously seen him just implode over the last 48 hours. Not only was he given a masterclass in how to coach and did nothing to combat or any kind of strategic move in order to maintain this team not getting their asses run over the entire game, but also he ended up throwing some of his coaches under the bus, including some of his players as well, and just acted like a complete maniac on the sidelines. Well, now it seems like Bills Mafia and at least the Bills local newspaper have started to talk about, is it time to potentially move on from Sean McDermott?
He just signed a massive contract extension that ties him through 2025.
Well, I mean, the money's pretty good, that too, does, right? Like, yeah, isn't it? Like, yeah. He's getting a decent amount per year, isn't
Jeez.
He?
But what happened on Monday doesn't happen. I mean, what happened on Monday changes everything.
Well, okay, so losing is something that can be rectified.
Yes.
You can keep someone around. When does a coach get fired?
Well, when they lose the locker room.
That's it. But bing, bing, bing.
But also, if I'm the owner of the Bills, I can't figure out why what happened on Monday happened, and I want answers. And I don't believe that McDermott can give the owner the answers that he wants. Now, they're not going to fire him, but go ahead.
We were discussing this with Brandon Merriweather in the 8 o'clock hour, and he said to us, more often than not, when players get called out like that, they know that they've done poorly. And that's not something I had thought of before. So maybe, even though he acted like a complete idiot, he hasn't lost a locker
room yet. Hang on. The only thing I'll say to that completely disproves that is that he called out two players who were inactive. He called out his two receivers who weren't even there. So they didn't even play that game. And he was calling them out.
I'm saying is just reading into what Brandon said, it may not be as bad as we all in this room think it is.
Listen, if they go and they beat Tampa Bay and they beat the Patriots in Gillette, then everything's fine.
Yes.
Everything's golden.
But I don't think they're going to go to Tampa and beat Tom Brady after this last
weekend.
And I
certainly don't think they can come into Gillette and beat the Patriots, considering the Patriots will throw the ball, which is an aspect of the game that they, again, did not utilize and beat you. If I'm the owner of the team and I'm sitting up in my owner's box, I want answers. How that happened, how all this money I'm spending on players, how that happened.
I'm kind of shocked. I'm taking a look right now at the spread for this weekend's game, which is in Tampa, and it's only got the Bucs favored by 3, so it's basically a pick 'em. It's just the home field advantage there.
Maybe this has lit a spark underneath the Buffalo Bills.
It will be interesting to see how they respond to this. We've seen this with Tom Brady before. I just have a feeling that he is going to be hell-bent on destruction. I mean, he's been playing out of his mind lately. I also am interested to find out whether or not after this 3-game suspension for Antonio Brown, you know, there was all that talk that Bruce Arians might let him go, but if Tom Brady wants him to stay, he's going to stay.
If I was the coach, I wouldn't cut him if Brady wants him.
Sure.
I give Brady whatever he wants.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you've basically done that already.
As long as he's good. As soon as he's not good anymore, I won't listen to him. But as long as he's my franchise, I'll do whatever he wants.
So the Writers Guild of America has released its list of the 101 greatest screenplays of the 21st century so far. It's a pretty good list. There's a couple ones on here that I disagree with.
I've seen most of these films. I'm very proud of myself.
I've seen all of them. Number one on the list, Get Out. Of course, the Jordan Peele film, which did very well.
Which he is starting to be, that whole concept of him being brilliant is starting to be made fun of a little bit, which I like.
Well, he's only made one film since then.
Yeah.
And that was the Us. Same. And I didn't think Us was very good.
And it was the same concept, essentially.
No. Us was about the twins, like different people who were separated.
Yeah, but there was still, it was an allegory or a metaphor for racism in America, correct?
I think there was in it.
Yes.
To be quite honest, I was kind of confused and ended up checking out a little bit. I watched the entire thing, but I saw Tim Heidecker die, and then I was like, what's happening here?
You know, Jordan Peele was invited onto Saturday Night Live when he was on Mad TV, and they wouldn't let him out of his contract, so he will not participate in any Mad TV reunions.
Still bitter, even after all that money. Well, also on the list, number two, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, excellent movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, despite Jim Carrey almost being completely miscast, what a great movie that is. The Social Network, another great movie at number three. Parasite, another fantastic movie at number four. Have you seen Parasite?
No.
Oh, dude, you'll love it. That's the one that won Best Picture a couple years ago about that family in, I think it's Korea. I don't want to spoil anything. That's one of those few movies I don't want to tell you anything about. I want you to see it without knowing anything about Parasite.
All right.
And check that one out. You'll love it. Number five, one of my all-time favorite movies, No Country for Old Men.
Yes.
And number six, Moonlight, wildly overrated. And number seven, There Will Be Blood. Daniel Day-Lewis, I might be the only one who... I think that dude's a ham.
Well, I'll tell you how you know he is, because he quit acting because it was too exhausting.
Oh, really?
Wow. He did. He quit acting because he was such... Yes, he's such a method actor that he... In the last movie he made was by some big director.
Paul Thomas Anderson, probably. It's that Phantom Thread, right?
Yes. Where they were sewing in messages into dresses. Mm-hmm. And apparently the process of getting into the head of that character was so overwhelmingly taxing that he had to quit the business, to which I would say... People are literally reading lines off of people's backs. Marlon Brando, who's considered this great, great actor, had like cue cards.
Johnny Depp has a guy that he hires who reads the script into an earpiece, and he repeats it.
So get out of here with how hard it is to act.
I just, all of his movies, and I'm one of the rare people, people think he's one of the greatest actors of all time. I think he overacts in everything.
Yes, he believes it was too taxing for him to go read lines.
At number eight, a movie that gets better every time you watch it, Inglourious Basterds. Inglourious Basterds might be my third favorite Tarantino movie.
What's first, Pulp Fiction?
Oh, Kill Bill. The first Kill Bill is my favorite.
He's making another.
A third one? I know they've talked about doing that forever. By the way, Kill Bill is one of my favorites. Kill Bill 2 might be near the bottom of my list. There is a speech that they do, talk about bad scripts, where he talks about Superman and his dual personality. That is the dumbest. It's one of the dumbest, most forced speeches ever. It's just to allude, I know comic books. He just jams it in there. But the first one's fantastic. I probably got to go Pulp Fiction. Then Inglourious Basterds and Reservoir Dogs are kind of hanging out the same spot. And I'll tell you what, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that movie's pretty damn good.
I rewatched Reservoir Dogs. When was the last time you saw it?
It's been about 5 years.
10 for me.
It's like, it's very much of its time.
Well, I think also people have parodied the way that they spoke so much that it almost seems like a parody of itself.
Because, I mean, the 90% of the thing is that dude who's bleeding out that Keitel has to bring into the safe
Tim
house.
Tim Roth, yeah.
It's a difficult watch. Just him bleeding out, screaming and yelling.
But then they go to his backstory, and he's got to memorize an anecdote.
I like the movie a lot. It's just, it's a lot to ask.
Sure.
When you're watching a guy bleed out for an hour and a half.
And number nine, Almost Famous. I thought that was a wildly overrated movie.
I like that movie.
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of corny. Number 10, Memento.
Yeah, I like that movie.
That was good, but I wouldn't even put that in the best of the Christopher Nolan movies. I would put, as far as scripts, you know what? The Dark Knight, I think, was a better script. Dark Knight's a great script.
Yeah.
I would say Inception's probably a better script, too.
I get the two confused.
Inception?
And Memento.
Oh, well, Inception is obviously much better, especially. I mean, he had a massive budget on that.
That's the one with the top, right?
Yes.
That's Inception, yes.
Oh, and the best soundtrack. That was a good movie. Oh, it was a great movie. Yeah, you go watch Parasite. That movie was
awesome. I will watch that.
Yeah, that's one that was worth the hype. One Best Picture was worth the hype.
I'm in Tennessee for 8 days. I'll watch anything.
There you go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the fall book.
Hey.
Ready to hear a lot of things for the second time.
Be Real just texted me, said, literally just rewatched No Country for Old Men last night. It's a perfect movie. It's a perfect movie. It's perfect. Absolutely.
Dan
pointed something out that I never knew. No Country for Old Men has zero music in it.
Really?
Zero.
Really?
Did not know that.
There's no background, credits, nothing.
I wonder how many American films don't have any music. Is that something that seems very French?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That'll do it for us, everyone. Have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.